Thank you for being with me today. I believe it was Pope John Paul II that is quoted as saying, "As the home goes, so goes the nation." Today we want to look at a few different lessons about the home and family. And the first thing that we want to notice in the home and the family is the institution of the marriage. And when we look at the marriage in today's society, it is struggling. And a lot of people want to redefine what makes a marriage. We hear people saying that same-sex couples can make a marriage, open marriages, polygamy, and different things, different ideas or ideals can make a marriage. And then there are others who claim that marriage altogether is just a thing of the past, preferring just to simply cohabitate together. And then there are plenty that joke about it. Henry Mencken said marriage is a wonderful institution, but who would want to live in an institution? The family today is an institution that is struggling. Husbands and wives often suffer strained relationships. Parents and children are frequently at odds with one another. And a lot of misery in life is due to family relations being dysfunctional. There are people in this country that would prefer the government assume the role of raising the children. I believe that much of the problem is due to society being self-centered. People are told to look out for number one in all of their relations, whether it be family, business, or friendship, or whatever. And so many enter into marriage and start families that they have a selfish attitude. It's all about me. And yet, no relationship can exist peacefully and lovingly where the participants in it are all about me, because once you are married, it's us. It's we. The Bible has a lot to say about marriage and the family, especially in the teachings of Jesus and his apostles. And that has helped many to have a long-lasting, fulfilling relationship in the marriage and in the home. And that can affect both our temporal, our temporary life, our temporary happiness, as well as our eternal happiness. So in these lessons, next few lessons, we want to consider what Jesus and his apostles taught about the Christian home and the Christian family. And I believe a good place to start with that is the sanctity of marriage. When we define the sanctity of marriage, there's a couple of things that we want to define. The meaning of sanctity, first of all, is defined as the quality of being holy or sacred. So it is common to speak of holy matrimony, or in other words, a sacred marriage. So when we talk about the sacredness of marriage, marriage is one of the most holy of relationships that two people can have. It is a bond that's created by God himself, and so we must treat the marriage relationship as sacred. Marriage is not something that is to be entered into lightly. Our ex-president, George W. Bush, said, "Our nation must defend the sanctity of marriage." So is the idea of marriage as a sacred union a biblical concept? Well, let's begin by noticing what Jesus and his disciples taught. The sanctity of marriage, as we understand it, is an institution that is created by God. From the very beginning, marriage was created following the creation in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus addressed this in Matthew's gospel in chapter 19. In that gospel, he spoke about Genesis chapter 2, and he told those that were questioning him about divorce there that marriage was designed for those created as a male and a female. And that union becomes one flesh in order to produce offspring, according to chapter 19 and verse 5. So marriage is not a creation by the state or by the government, but it is created by God Himself. Therefore, it is a sanctified, a divine institution. But marriage is regulated by Jesus. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said that all authority had been given to Him. And we also understand this from this, that He will be our judge in all things. Now, He taught that man may try to break the bond of marriage, to put asunder. But only God can do that. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 19 when questioned about divorce. One may legally divorce and remarry, but the guilty party, the one that's guilty of adultery, cannot remarry. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32 teaches us this. Going back to Matthew 19 and verse 9, Jesus said that God allows divorce only for fornication, and the innocent person in that marriage that is now dissolved may remarry. He also taught that some might have to become celibate, making themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Again, Matthew 19, verses 11 and 12. And perhaps because they had been divorced for adultery or an unlawful marriage, or because they were single by choice and never asked anyone to marry them. The Apostle Paul, for example, had more to say concerning marriage. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, he said marriage is for life. Marrying another person while one's spouse is alive, he says, is adultery. Each person is to have his or her own spouse and not to be shared. He says this in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. Husbands and wives also have certain duties to one another. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5. So one is not to divorce. Simply put, God hates divorce. Malachi chapter 2. And if divorced, we must remain single or return to the person that we divorced ourselves from. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 11. If an unbelieving spouse or mate departs, a believer is not obligated to fulfill marital duties, but that does not necessarily imply that they are free to remarry. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 16. So the Jesus as Lord over all is the final arbiter, the final judge regarding marriage. Now, marriage is reserved for intimacy. The Hebrew writer points this out in chapter 13 and verse 4. The only proper relationship for a sexual intimacy is the marriage. He's talking about sex. The only place for sex in an individual's life is in marriage. Not before the wedding, not during the dating process, but only after the wedding. Greatly simplifying the great question, when is the time right? We need to understand that sex outside of the marriage between a man and a woman is fornication. Fornication includes premarital, extramarital, and same-sex relations. And this kind of conduct, Paul says from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, can keep us out of the kingdom of God. Sex outside of the marriage is not without physical or psychological consequence. A casual hookup can deeply affect the brain and even our emotions, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. There are chemical reactions in the body that can occur that lead to bonding, even addiction, and then there's not even considering the transmitted diseases, and leading up to an increase of depression and suicide when there is no marriage, according to the Heritage Foundation in 2003. Also, from that Heritage Foundation survey, they pointed out that 25.3% of sexually active teenage girls experienced depression. Now, you compare that to 7.7% of girls who abstain from sex. 14.3%, they said, of sexually active girls attempted suicide, compared to 5.1% of their virgin peers. You can read more about this at the Heritage Foundation in an article that they have printed or published that there it says The title is, There is Nothing Brief About a Hookup. So, premarital sex endangers having a successful marriage. The national divorce rate in the United States is over 40%. That comes from the National Survey of Family Growth. Couples who wait to have sex until marriage and remain faithful have a divorce rate of only 20%. Again, that comes from the Heritage Foundation article. And it also pointed out that couples who have more sexual partners prior to or before or outside of marriage have a much higher rate of divorce. That article also pointed out that those who have as many as 5 partners have only a 30% chance that their marriage will not end in divorce. So a successful marriage requires mutual respect and trust. Courtship, the dating time, is the time to build respect and trust that will strengthen your marriage. If your potential spouse will sin with you before you marry, then what assurance do you have that they will not sin against you after you are married to them? The sanctity of marriage is preserved when it alone is the realm of this intimacy in the marriage institution. Now, marriage is not an institution that's created and designed by man or the state. It is subject to altercation by societal whims, but it is a sacred institution that was created by God, regulated by Jesus and His inspired apostles in the Word of God. Is reserved for that sexual intimacy between a man and a woman. Marriage is a successful institution. When we follow the Bible and everything about it concerning marriage, when members of the family fulfill their proper roles, the marriage will be successful. Now, we'll consider more of that about this, starting with the duties of the husband next week, Lord willing. But in the meantime, here's some food for thought. From an uninspired, though wise perspective, the Ten Commandments of a Successful Marriage, from Judge Joseph Sabbath. He was 20 years in presiding over what he called the nightmare world of the divorce court. And he framed 10 Commandments of a Successful Marriage, which he predicted could prevent at least 90% of marital breakups. Number 1, bear and forbear. Number 2, work together, play together, and grow together. Number 3, avoid the little quarrels, and the big ones will take care of themselves. Compromise, there has to be some give and take in the antitoxin of divorce. Practice sympathy, good humor, and mutual understanding. Number 6, don't grouch over breakfast or after it. Number 7, respect your in-laws, but don't criticize them or take criticism from them. Number 8, establish your own home, even in a one-room flat. Number 9, fight for each other, but not with each other. And number 10, build your home on religious faith, with love and forgiveness as the watchword. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I believe if we go back to what Pope John Paul said about the home, if we put Jesus first in our list of priorities, then everything will fall into place. You'll be a better husband, better wife, and so on down the line. If you have any questions about what we've talked about here today, you can look me up at Church of Christ at Eastside, or you can visit with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll assemble this morning at 10 a.m. and again this evening at 6 p.m. for worship service. Again, thank you for being with me.